For more than 1,000 years, papermaking was the mark of civilization. An advanced civilization was one that made paper. When the Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes arrived in the New World in 1504, he was extremely impressed by the Aztecs. They had built the largest city in the world and were advanced in mathematics and astronomy. But it was their papermaking ability that most impressed him. To the Spaniard, the society that made paper was an advanced civilization. That's from the opening of Paper, Paging Through History by Mark Kurlansky. If that name is familiar, it's because he's also the author of Salt and the author of Cod. Not Salted Cod, but Salt and Cod. Paper, we write on it, we wrap with it, we pack with it. I'm reading this book from it. How could I not review this book? Paper's been a part of my life since I can remember, literally. My dad was a job printer, and besides all the waste paper he brought home for my sister and I to play with, not to mention our friends, of course, draw with, write on, I ended up working in his print shop for most of my high school years. I unloaded tons of paper. So when I saw this book sitting pertly on the new bookshelves, I snapped it up and began reading. Glad I did. The key sentences to understanding the narrative flow of paper are to be found in the introduction, when our author quotes, among other philosophers, Karl Marx and Martin Heidegger, to support his thesis that technology is changed by society, not the other way around. Society is not changed by technology, rather, technology is changed by society. Let's let Mr. Kurlansky tell us in his own words. As he writes, we tend to think of technology as referring only to the development of physical devices, mechanical in the 19th century, and now electronic. But the word can also be applied to any practical application of knowledge, as Merriam-Webster's dictionary says. Technological inventions have always arisen from necessity. Numerous inventions preceded paper. First came spoken language, then drawing, then pictographs, then alphabets, then phoneticism, then writing, and then paper. Paper was then followed by printing, movable type, typewriters, machine-driven printers, and electronic word processors, and the electronic printers that go with them. As needs present themselves, solutions are found. Every idea engenders a need for another. In this case, the original inventions are not physical man-made objects, and so are not technology in the traditional sense of the word, but the way they function in and influence society in history is like a technology, a founding technology. There are important lessons to be learned from the history of technology and commonly held fallacies. One is that new technology eliminates old. This rarely happens, our author writes. Papyrus survived for centuries in the Mediterranean world after paper was introduced. Parchment remains in use. The invention of gas and electric heaters has not meant the end of fireplaces. Printing did not end penmanship. Television did not kill radio. Movies did not kill theater. And home video did not kill movie theaters, although all these things were falsely predicted. Electronic calculators have not even ended the use of the abacus, and more than a century after Thomas Edison was awarded a patent for a commercially successful light bulb in 1879, there are still 400 candle manufacturers in the United States alone, employing some 7,000 workers with annual sales of more than $2 billion. Well, you get the point. It's a point of view that infuses the story, guiding us through the history of paper, whose narrative sees that the technological breakthrough that we call paper is not as dramatic a change maker after its invention, but rather a telltale sign that human society had meandered into a time when the use of readily available, readily mobile, inexpensive, and easy-to-use communication was enough to invent and sustain. But why do we write? Why have we come to the use of paper in the first place? What is the motivation to write stuff down instead of using memory sticks or memory knots? As our author tells us when describing the very human passion to write and to draw, to delight in the capture and the continuation of memory is one of the hallmarks that makes us human. And so we are off on a trip into the distant past and into the cusp of the future, traveling around the world to learn of the origins and eventually the worldwide spread of that Chinese-Arabic invention, of that hallmark of civilization, paper. Indeed, one of the key points of the book is its worldwide reach and ages-old history. And it takes us within paragraphs from the Arab lands to China, from Central America to Europe, all the while telling that ages-old story of person-to-person communication, first oral, then on clay or papyrus or parchment, and finally to paper as it is produced and consumed today, including the changes that have and likely will continue to come, as reflected by the widespread use of the modern-day computer. This book, Paper, is not without humor. In fact, much of the reason to read this particular book is to revel in the moments of snark or critique that we read. For instance, when telling us of the many critics of the newfangled written word that was sweeping through 4th century BCE Greece about 2,400 years ago, our author provides us with these witticisms. Plato wrote, quote, "And once a thing is put in writing, the composition, whatever it may be, drifts all over the place, getting not only in the hands of those who understand it, but equally of those who have no business with it. It doesn't know how to address the right people and not address the wrong," end quote. This may explain why Plato never wrote down what he considered his best ideas, his so-called unwritten doctrines, and why so much of his writing is in the form of dialogues. Many felt as Plato did, that once something was written down, it no longer came from within a person, but was external, and therefore was not sincere, not heartfelt, and thus, in a sense, was made less true. Aristotle said, quote, "Memory is the scribe of the soul," end quote. Socrates tells the story of the Egyptian god Thoth, and said to have invented writing. Proud of his creation, Thoth asks for the pharaoh's approval. The pharaoh told Thoth, quote, "You have invented an elixir not of memory but of reminding, and you offer your pupils the appearance of wisdom, not true wisdom, for they will read many things without instruction, and will therefore seem to know many things when they are for the most part ignorant," end quote. Socrates makes the identical argument, warning that writing would, quote, "implant forgetfulness and no true wisdom," end quote. His prophecy was exactly right, but it did not dissuade anyone, including himself, from using the new technology. Those who criticized the written word in Plato's time were no different from writers today who sit at their computers and tap out critiques, even diatribes, against computer technology. They are working with the same compromise. They recognize that the new technology is now the way to do things, but they regret it. The debate about the written word continued for centuries. First century Romans complained that because of the written word, the great Roman art of oratory was in decline. But Tacitus pointed out that this decline also had a positive aspect. It diminished the ability of politicians to deceive people. By the first century, writing was everywhere in Rome. There were street signs, posted city ordinances, and placards with all kinds of messages. The controversy over the written word was still alive, even into the Middle Ages. St. Thomas Aquinas pointed out that the church never used the written word because great teachers never use the written word. He wraps up this chapter by saying, IQ tests are often criticized for not truly measuring intelligence. What then do they measure? They measure literacy, because we have grown to associate literacy with intelligence. Meanwhile, we no longer imagine an oral society. What would we have thought upon visiting a pre-literate civilization? Is any technological shift in human history as great as the change from the oral to the written word? Once that shift happened, though, society could no longer get by with expensive, slow-to-produce writing materials. Something as disposable as wax, as light as leaves, as cheap as clay, and as durable as parchment was needed. I think it's worth noting that the writing style of paper has something in common with the oft-mentioned paper-making process. As paper is made by overlays of pounded wooden pulp with a cellulose fiber sticking this way and that, so much of the story told here is reminiscent of college or more sophisticated high school essays that we've all written. There are long snippets of fact and serial thoughts, which you just heard, that suddenly break and follow an associated but not smoothly linked theme, only to be clearly stated and then broken once again. Surprisingly, though, once I caught on to the rhythm of this writing style, I came to accept it as a natural way of reading paper, and I learned a lot from these pages. To finish this review, to those who ask me from time to time what I think the future holds for libraries, but more particularly for books and paper books, let me give our author the last word, with which I just happen to agree. In brief, searching for the end of paper and the end of paper books is to go on a snipe hunt, a search that will seem never ending. It seems paper's going to be around, according to our author, at least, as he tells us. Quote, paper will probably never disappear, end quote. Certainly for the time being, paper has a solid, even if slightly diminished, place in our culture. Mitchell Kapoor said, at the moment, paper still has some advantages over screens, flexibility. It has more longevity because it has attributes for which there are no substitutes. I think we will have paper for a long time, which does not mean forever. Ironically, many books on paper are being published about the ruinous effect that digital communication is having on human beings and civilization. We are told that we will lose our memory, our ability to sustain a thought, our ability to think and truly find out a way through an idea. Those same warnings were made when communication changed from oral to written, as we just heard. There was some truth to it when Plato and Socrates were debating the notion, and there is some truth to it today. It is very easy, when in a conversation with an annoying interlocutor with a cell phone in hand who repeatedly Googles every subject for factoids, to understand what Socrates was saying in Plato's Phaedrus. Quote, it will implant forgetfulness in their souls. They will cease to exercise memory because they rely on that which is written, calling things to remembrance, no longer from within themselves. And it is no true wisdom. End quote. It is no true wisdom. How often do we think this thought about people who spew facts from the internet? Don't Plato's words about people who rely on writing resonate when observing people who rely so much on search engines? Quote, they seem to know much, while for the most part, they know nothing, end quote. And yet, even with the establishment of written language, human discourse and intellectual pursuits continued. The written word proved useful. In the words of the first century BCE poet Horace, the written word remains. As our author concludes, before predicting all the things that will disappear in the digital age, it is worth remembering that orality still survives. The first step in promoting a new book is having the author read it in public, because when people hear it, it tends to make them want to read it. Recordings of books have also become tremendously popular. It is apparent that human beings have an innate desire for connection. There is a part of the brain that makes human beings the most social of animals want to connect with one another. Our brains have evolved this way. It is in our genetic coding. It is likely to grow stronger as humans evolve because it is a trait that benefits survival. It is why humans invented a spoken language, then a written language, then paper, then printing, then electronics. This is evolution, not revolution. Paper. Paging Through History. It's a paper book. It's also available as an e-book in case you want to read it that way. That's one of those wonderful, ironic parts of living in the 21st century. It's by New York Times bestselling author Mark Kurlansky, and it's available at all of our local fine libraries. Who wouldn't want a book on paper, including the West Lafayette Public Library?